You are now listening to an explosive podcast called The Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop
and Daniel Ettinger. Do you know why I called it explosive?
Hopefully it's not because anybody's got diarrhea.
Wow. Well, it could be a podcast about Giardia. We just lost half our listeners. It's fine. Remember to check out the Animal Control Report on Facebook, Instagram, and also check out our website, keepithumane.com. Please use discount code ACREPORT for 10% off of your order. And like, share, rate the podcast. If you have questions, hit us up. Our contact information is on the website, keepithumane.com. What's going on, Bishop?
Not much, but boy howdy, is summer in full swing around here. How about you?
I am all sorts of stuff. I'll be announcing stuff at some point. I have not ready to do that yet, but a lot of changes on the horizon, and just excited to take part of that. So stay tuned for future episodes, and hopefully it's as exciting to you as it is to me.
I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited. So with 4th of July right around the corner, you know, that holiday where there's these big things that go boom. That's why we said an explosive podcast today. We really wanted to talk about all of it. A couple things that, you know, I want to go over in a little bit is maybe some of the tips and things that we can do to keep our pets safe during 4th of July. And some pets are affected by it. Some pets are not. And I just wanted to get your take, like, your own dog, right? Is he affected by the sound of firecrackers, fireworks?
He doesn't get the super nervous. I would not necessarily expect him to bolt, but he definitely tries to look around to see where the sound is coming from. We actually have a baseball diamond not too far from us that most Friday nights actually have fireworks. Mm. So for us, it's not just 4th of July here. It's every week. And we actually live not too far from it. So I've been on walks with him, and he looks around to try to find it, but he doesn't freak out.
I was walking my dog last year during the 4th of July. And he definitely tried to like pull out of his harness and just go. Mm. He was so freaked out by it. And so I think there's a combination of all that where people experience that and then maybe experience dogs that just do not care. It doesn't affect them. I'm curious how many people medicate their dog, prior to those fireworks, knowing that, you know, 4th of July is coming up and like, you know, going to the vet, getting a bottle of, what would you get? I mean, as a vet tech, what do you think people take home?
Oh, I mean, there could be several different things from as simple as some people might just give Benadryl.
Okay.
But gabapentin might be one.
Trazodone, would they do
Trazodone, that? Yeah. Pretty much anything that you use for your pre-med to the vet type stuff.
Okay.
Depending on the severity, some of them might be taking multiple. But there's plenty of other things you can do too that aren't actual medications.
Well, what are those things? Like what? I've heard of the Thunder shirt. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Yep. My dog previous to Rex, she didn't have much of an issue with fireworks or thunderstorms either, except for this one time we went camping and we were in a tent and we had a thunderstorm.
She's like, I'm not feeling this.
Yeah. So I became her thunder shirt. and I had her completely wrapped up, my arms around her, my legs around her.
Wow.
Yeah. So My husband sleeps with a 35-pound weighted blanket, so there's something to be said for having that weight on you. So the thunder shirts, I think, do work in certain cases.
Does it only go on him? You don't use it?
Oh, no, it's for our entire bed.
How do you like those? I know we're going to get off topic, but I've really been thinking about getting a weighted blanket. So, and this is not a sponsored ad, folks. Like, I'm just curious, like, what is your take on that?
It's nice. I could do with or without, but he has ADHD. And so sometimes having that helps him center himself a little bit more. Even in the hottest days of the summers, I'll find him with a blanket, and we've got one that's not weighted, but it's a physically heavier blanket that he'll just put on him in the living room too.
Do you find with the weighted blanket though, like let's say you're traveling and obviously you don't have it with you, do you fall asleep the same?
I do.
Okay.
And he's traveled too. Maybe it takes a little bit longer, but you know, I think there's also a little bit of a difference. You can get smaller travel size ones too.
Oh, how cool is that? Well, I mean, the Thunder Shirt, that concept, and if anybody's, and I've talked about it a lot, I was just on Dr. G's podcast. If you don't know who that is, please check out the Animal Welfare Junction, and that's available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Dr. G puts on a great show. She's been on our show as well. But in that show, I was talking about Temple Grandin. And if those of you that don't know who Temple Grandin is, please click your Google search option and put her name in there. Most of us in animal welfare have heard the name. Temple Grandin is a professor at Colorado State University, and she is on the spectrum of autism. But what she created for livestock, specifically cattle, were better runs, better shoots for them. When, you know, heading to slaughter. And she found that it caused less stress for them to wear, not wear, they're not putting thunder shirts on cows, to enter what's called like a squeeze cage kind of thing. And you'll see those in animal shelters for certain things. But these cows will get, you know, that pressure, almost like a giant hug. And it just causes less stress for them overall in that scenario. And so my guess is the Thunder Shirt is similar to that concept, right? Where, you know, you're able to provide some comfort. I don't know how well they work. I'm curious, any of our listeners, if you use them, please shoot us a message. I'd love to hear about it. And I have a message I want to share with us as a group here in a little bit too, but let's go back to the 4th of July stuff and how it affects our pets. And so I know when you and I were briefly talking offline about it, you were like, oh, you mean that, what'd you say? That myth? Did you say myth?
Yes.
So what do you mean by that? Like, what does that mean to you?
I don't see an increase in the number of strays necessarily around the 4th of July. And even our shelter has kind of taken a look at the strays that they get in and stuff. And it has never seemed to increase during that time frame. So that's why I say that.
I wonder, and no disrespect to Wasu County, if that's where you work. I just named a place and
not even close, but okay.
Whatever. It's somewhere up in the Great Lakes area. Are you even by a Great Lake?
No, I'm in the dead center of Wisconsin.
All right. Well, somewhere in Wisconsin where there's a lot of, I just wonder, you know, if it's partially due geographically. Because I know when I worked in Denver, I guarantee you that there was a huge increase in not only intakes, but a huge increase of dog at large during that time, or holding strays, just because these dogs would get frantic and then take off. So I think it is, there is a correlation. I'm curious if it is somewhat based on location and or.
I'm going to throw something else at you here. Is it possible that it's less affecting animals in my area because maybe they're more used to the sounds because we're such a huge hunting community and they're used to gunshots?
I was going to ask that. So like, are there more hunters? Are there like, you, and you said like there's fireworks almost every night. Like, so like maybe there is a sense of like, all right, now I know this isn't a threat.
Right. Or the owners are actually
with their dog hunting or whatever, yeah.
But also conscientious. I see it on Facebook all the damn time when people are just bitching. Oh, the woodchucks are having another set of fireworks. This one's having another set of fireworks, you know. And so, you know, they say about how their animals are bothered by it. So maybe these people are actually a little more conscientious.
Mm. What's interesting, the whole thought process behind it is like, why are we still doing fire? Like, knowing, okay, try to find the right way to say this here.
They
like,
can make silent ones because what you're saying is because of PTSD for of people course. As well as animals. Yeah. No, they can make them silent. And unfortunately, I think that comes down to a lot of tradition.
Yeah.
Because it is representative of, I mean, the big time that they did it was, you know, when the war ended. Yeah. And so there's that tradition there. And some people just really like the sound, but
I mean, the firework itself, I think they're pretty, they're cool to mm-hmm. look at. There's no doubt about it. But if we know, like we're in such an age now where we're at, like, I don't think we've ever been in an age where we've been so conscientious. How do you say it?
Conscientious.
Yeah, of just how our actions may affect others. And I think, you know, that's something that obviously I'm totally like just trying to do better as in general as a human being. But I'll say this, like, you know, that it's like we're making these changes to just be better as a community. And so I'm curious, like, at what point do we say like, all right, we're done with the noisy fireworks and we're going to do drone shows. I don't know if you've seen those. Those are pretty fascinating. Yeah. We're going to do drone shows or we're going to do, you know, firework. What did you call them? Silent fireworks. Like at some point, no one's going to complain. I mean, there'll be, yeah, never mind.
That was a dumb statement.
Yeah. someone will complain. But at the end of the day, like people are still going to show up to a 4th of July thing, a picnic or parade or party where they're having fireworks, but it's just the lights and that's okay. Like you can have music set to these fireworks too. Right. So it's not, you know, you're not getting those big booms. I will be honest. Those popcorn ones, the ones that like fizzle.
Mm-hmm.
I love those, but I could do without them. Truthfully. I could absolutely do without them.
I like the deep ones.
The big ones, the ones that go like, boom.
Yeah.
They hit. Yeah. They hit. Well, here in a second, I want to talk about some of those tips that, you know, that may help around the 4th of July holiday, which again is right around the corner. And then I'm going to find this question. It's not even a question. I got to find it. So as I do that, Bishop, what else you got?
I am thankful, I got to say, for my CSOs. So during the summertime, we get college students that come in that they do municipal things. They get to work with the homeless and getting people not where they're supposed to be, but they also get to help me out in the summertime.
Sure.
And man, is it nice to have help. So it's been busy around here. Like it picked up exponentially all of a sudden, but it does for warmer weather, and kind of sucks because here shortly I'm going to be out. I'm having some surgery on my hand, so I'm going to be sitting in the office and just guiding everybody on what they're supposed to do. So
I was going to say twiddle your thumbs, but then if you're having
surgery, no, it's on my thumb, so yeah. No.
If you're having surgery on your hands.
And don't kid yourself, I have got plenty of work that I can do in the office. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm thankful for that, but I also solidarity to everybody out there that's, you know, working through lunch hours right now and working extra hours. I ended up I put in 3 hours overtime this last week, which they really dislike when I have overtime, but it was unavoidable. So we're all out there in the trenches right now.
It's rough. And, you know, it's interesting.
It's rough.
Yeah, that wasn't intentional. But no, I get it. I think, like, as we, you know, I like to, like, just say to people, like, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. You know, like, I think in our profession, it's easy to forget that, you know, we're not alone and we're out there, but we may feel alone, but we're not alone, right? We're, we have a group of us that, you know, are here to support our groups and, you know, whether it's through the Facebook private groups or whether it's through, you know, this podcast or others like Don't Fuck Up the Crime Scene or again, the Animal Welfare Junction, podcasts like that. There's a rumor, a couple of friends of ours are possibly starting their podcast soon. So excited to kind of have them join this as well. So you have, you know, a network, there are people, you're not alone in this is really something that, you know, I want to make sure everybody knows.
And is a reminder to everybody too, like, because this is such a busy time of year for everybody. I think, would you say, Dan, your summers are usually a lot busier than your colder months?
Yeah. And so absolutely. And one of the things, I know we're off topic a little bit about 4th of July, and that's okay. But one of the things about where I worked in, when I was in Denver specifically, and I can talk freely about it since I've been removed for a couple of years. I often brought up the idea of, hey, like maybe we could have like adjustable schedules to be better for our community. And that's just how my brain works. I'm always thinking like, what can we do different to help? Like it's never about anything other than how do we help? And so, what we noticed, or what I noticed specifically, and not just me, there's a lot of people there that I think would agree with this, is I noticed that like come school's back in town, school's back in season, and the days are shorter because we changed the clocks. And so basically it starts to get dark around like, what time does it get dark there? And, you know, 4:35. Like after that time, it is just dead. Mm-hmm. Like there's some follow-ups and things that you can do, but for the most part, it is just absolutely like just dead. And so I said, like, why don't we just do, so on the weekends there in Denver, what they do is a combined shift. So like their normal schedule is, you know, on a Monday, Monday through Friday, they have a 7 a.m. shift to 5:30 and then a 10:30 to 9 p.m., which in the summers is okay. I honestly think the 7 a.m. is perfect. I think they could start their swing shift or mid shift or have a third shift that starts at like 1 o'clock and goes to like 11 or something because they are busy late. I mean, it's a big city, and that would then reduce the number of on-call hours officers have to work and actually get called out for. Mm-hmm. It would, you know, statistically, I think it would really be helpful. The statistics show that would really be helpful. But then in the wintertime, you just go back to that one schedule. Like, you know, when kids are back in school, you have that 8:30 to 7 p.m., right? So, and then it's everybody, you're not split anymore. So you have, I don't know, maybe 6 months out of the year where you get to work more closely with your team, maybe do ride, like double up in trucks and stuff like that. And just learn from each other and work together. I think like that's a creative way of doing it because it's so slow. Like winters are just, when it's cold, it's so slow. So I'm actually really looking forward to a place where there is no winter. Stay tuned for that, yo.
Well, and I really want to just put it out there, everybody, like this is the time for you to do something for yourself. And remember, you can't do in everything. So take some time for yourself and do some self-care and just be who you want to be outside of work. you know, take and care about yourself too, because you are so busy. You can't be taking all your work home with you every day. You're going to burn yourself out.
Absolutely. And speaking of burning stuff, let's get back to our 4th of July safety tips. But before we do that, we're going to break really quick for our sponsor. Shout out to Livetrap.com.
Tomahawk Livetrap has been manufacturing humane animal capture and handling equipment since 1925. They work directly with animal control officers around the world to develop and improve their products so that they're as safe and efficient as possible. Save 10% on your next order by using discount code DCACREPORT. Visit them online at www.livetrap.com or call them at 1-800-272-8727.
So I pulled up a thing from the ASPCA. I just start there, 4th of July safety tips. And I often wonder and realize when you see certain tips suggested, you're like, son of a gun, somebody actually did that, right? Because it's not like they're just like giving these tips out just based on, you know, random information. Like there's been a case. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. For example, when they're like, don't stick a knife in the socket, right? You've heard that before.
Yep.
You know why they say that is because somebody has done it, right? And so that's here with these tips from the ASPCA. We'll just kind of look at this. This is just in general, you know, thinking about 4th of July holiday parties and things like that. Never leave alcoholic drinks unattended where pets can reach them. So alcoholic beverages have the potential to poison pets. If ingested, the animal could become very intoxicated and weak, severely depressed, or go into a coma. Death from respiratory failure is also a possibility. So if it's a super hot day and you have a brachycephalic dog drinking a, you know, a bunch of Coronas, that could cause problems. And I know, you know, people do it. They think it's funny to like give their dog alcohol, but it's probably not something you should be doing. Check this one out. And I never knew this. I don't know who would do it. But again, if it's on here, somebody's probably done it. Don't apply any sunscreen or insect repellent product to your pet that is not labeled specific for animal use. Ingestion of sunscreen ingestion of sunscreen products can result in drooling, vomiting, diarrhea, excessive thirst, and lethargy. The misuse of insect repellent that contains DEET can lead to neurological problems in your pet.
Huh.
So keep that in mind.
There actually is sunscreen for pets, though.
Wow. I'm sure somebody's going to get it. And well, probably already has.
I mean, let's think about it. You've got your Chinese Crested and...
your Zolo Shen Squeaklies, however you say those dogs. The Zolo.
So, I mean, I guess I can see that, but... Yeah.
Pitties. I mean, you think about pitties, their coats are so short and flat, and like their bellies are so exposed. I could see somebody sunscreening them up.
And their noses in general. I mean, yeah. Skin cancer, if it's going to typically be found on a dog, it's usually on their nose.
Interesting. Tip of the day by Vet Tech Ashley Bishop. Always keep matches and lighter fluid away from your pet's reach. That sounds like common sense. But we know that certain types of matches contain chlorates, I don't know what the fuck that is, but which could potentially damage blood cells and result in difficulty breathing or even kidney disease. In severe cases, lighter fluid can irritate the skin and, if ingested, can produce gastrointestinal. I'm just trying not to laugh about, you know, all the jokes about the explosive farts and diarrhea if your dog ingests lighter fluid. And it can
Please don't try to light your dog's farts on fire either.
Yeah, please don't. All right, keep your pets on a normal diet, so chill out on those hot dogs and stuff like that. But, you know, everybody's going to give them something off the grill. They're getting a hamburger or something.
No, you're going to have a veggie tray. Give them the veggies, guys. You don't need hepatic lipidosis. Do not give them fatty liver syndrome. It is, you know, $500 and up to treat them for several days in the hospital.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. Not too much fatty foods.
This one is this one I did not expect. Do not put glow jewelry on your pets or allow them to play with it. So, you know, those glow sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're great because then you can see your dog like just, you know. But yeah, exactly. So the substance inside of that is highly toxic, right? Can cause excessive drooling, gastrointestinal irritation could still result from in eating it. And then there could even be a blockage if they eat the plastic container. So please don't do that.
So you know what you can do instead? They've got light up tags that you can put on. I had one. We always joke that my dog became Iron Man because it would just glow a bright blue light. And let me tell you, that light was bright enough we could walk a path in the woods with it. Or they've got collars that have the lights in them.
Yeah.
There's alternatives and they're safe.
Absolutely. All right. Keep citronella candles. Dogs don't like citronella anyway, so keep those away. They're typically going to stay away from those, but keep those away. And then never use fireworks around pets, right? While exposure to lit fireworks can potentially result in severe burns and trauma to the face, paws, curious pets, even unused fireworks can pose dangers, right? Because like they can go over there, try to eat them. Now they're filled up with gunpowder, obviously other toxic substances in there. So be mindful of that.
And I've seen dogs that family, you know, the dog isn't necessarily affected by this, excuse me, sound, but the dog thinks that they need to protect the owner from it. So dogs have gone up and grabbed lit fireworks and, you know, gone off running with them, trying to protect the owner. So keep your animal contained.
Absolutely. And then the last one from the ASPCA's tips is just loud, crowded firework displays. Crowded firework displays just aren't great for pets. So they may be disoriented from the sound. They may try to run off. So they recommend just really creating kind of like a spa environment in your home, right? And like it, you know, making the home dark, maybe other noise like ambient noise, white noise, fans, things like that, TV. Yeah. Anything that you can do to like ultimately drown out the outside noise can be helpful. Or like I had a partner of mine when I worked in Denver, Jenna, shout out Jenna. She would always leave the metro area with her dog because it really just affected her dog horribly. So she would go up into the mountains where it was quiet during the 4th of July. So if you can do that, you know, plan a trip, try to get away from all those noise. I mean, again, I appreciate what Independence Day stands for, right? Like, obviously, I support that. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not the best for our people with PTSD and our pets.
And, you know, I bet Jenna still was able to see the fireworks at a distance without having to worry about the sound.
Yeah, probably so. And then some of the other things that you don't think about. Like, I, for a long time, did not put a collar with a tag on my dog just at all. Like, or if I did, like, I would take it off. I would take it off when we were in the house. Mm-hmm. Keep it on during 4th of July because you never know, right? Like, just make sure you're not taking it off and hanging it up. Like, just leave the tag on there. So that way, if the dog does get out, you're able to get it home quickly.
And in the event that somehow your dog's tag actually comes off, have your dog microchipped and it updated.
Make sure you check in with your company. Yeah, absolutely. Make sure it's updated because, you know, at the end of the day, like, you can have all that stuff, but if it's not updated, trust me, I think all of the officers listening and myself, I've been on mad goose chases trying to track down somebody. You know, oh, well, it was implanted in, you know, this facility in 1997.
Yeah.
You know, so, all right. I want to get to that comment that was given to us. I just thought it was cool. And I asked them if I could share on the podcast and they said, yeah. So I'm just going to read it from, this came from Jen on, she sent us a Facebook message. Hey. So funny story. Last winter, I was taking the day-long trip to drive a deceased Chihuahua to our state veterinarian for a necropsy. This is an all-day deal, and we have to pay for the service. I listened to the Animal Control Report podcast for the drive there and back. On the way back was the podcast for the ASPCA Forensic Center in Florida. My jaw literally dropped as I listened. I nearly turned around to get the Chihuahua back. Today, I submitted a request for assistance regarding a horrible cruelty case, and they just accepted it. So body is being shipped out tomorrow. I would not have known about this, and it's all thanks to you guys and your awesome podcast. So thanks, Jen, for that awesome just message. You know, like, we like, that's why we do it. We want to hear success stories. We want people to be able to, you know, find ways to maybe do something different. And so I think it's just cool how she's like, wait, this is a thing. I'm about to go back and
get
the dog from wherever I just dropped it off from.
Well, and I don't know about you, Dan, but I am just, I'm a humane officer in Wisconsin. I am not anybody special doing this. I came on the podcast years and years ago when it first started, and it was, you know, the Humane Roundup. But I'm not anybody special that gets to have special contact with anybody. Everybody that has been on this podcast that has said, hey, we're willing to help, that means they're willing to help everybody, not just Dan and I.
Yeah.
So if you need the help, everybody's contact information is always put into the comments. You can reach out to Dan and I if you forget who it is that you need to contact. We'll get you in touch with them. But like, there are people out there that want to help that just nobody really knows is out there to help. So ask. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And if you don't know the person, maybe somebody you know does.
And in regard to the ASPCA forensic lab, I mean, you can go back several episodes ago and play it. Like, there's a, basically what they do, and what Jen was referring to was, they have a necropsy center in, I think it's in Gainesville, Florida, and it's part of the university, and it's at no cost if you are doing an investigation, a criminal investigation, you know. And they basically, the only thing that you're ultimately required to do is find the way to pack it up. So they're going to pay for shipping, but you have to provide the box. And then technically, I think, you have to put some ice, those little ice packs in there to make sure
it stays cold.
Yeah, the animal, it stays cold. Exactly. And so check out that episode. I mean,
there's more than just the necropsy too.
Yep.
I've actually called them up several times since that episode aired, and I've gotten their help. They will review medical records. They will help facilitate getting animals in for certain procedures, and then communicate with the veterinarians doing those things so that they get the correct test results. And, you know, if it's x-rays, telling them exactly how they want the x-ray taken, and then they review it. And they'll come and testify if it goes to court. Mm-hmm.
That episode is episode, I just found it. So what number are you? You are episode 76.
That was a long time ago.
We might need to have them back on. But they just talks about the forensic lab. I mean, that was when they first kind of came out, 2021. So we're, you know, two years. It feels like just yesterday. Like,
yeah, it does.
That episode is 2 years old, but... And my point of that is, like, it's still relevant, right? So go back, check that out. That's 100 episodes ago. That's incredible. But check it out. It was with Dr. Christina Balcom, and just really, you know, great information. So Jen, again, thanks for sending that our way. And if any of you have feedback, please, you know, shoot us a message. You can shoot it on Instagram at the Animal Control Report. You can shoot it on Facebook. We have the Animal Control Report group. You can find our, you know, Facebook groups. Daniel Ett, E-double-T, I'm on there. Also, Keep It Humane is on there as well. So check all that stuff out. We really want to hear from you. I mean, that's why we're doing this. So yeah.
And I'm gonna shout out Kelly there. She told us she had a bunch of comments from an episode we recently aired. We haven't heard from you yet, Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly. Oh, yeah. She was listening to the TNR episode that aired a few weeks ago. So she wanted to, what did she say? She was like, I literally want to call in the show right now, though it's not live. And so, you know, big shout out to Stacey LeBaron and the TNR, Community Cats podcast. They do great things. Like, they really do. And they do a ton of training. So if you're into TNR in that aspect, I highly recommend checking that podcast out. But I will say that, like, you know, one of the questions I brought up in that show was, should we be TNRing dogs? Like, should we literally just to get them out of the shelter? And I know that is a far-fetched kind of idea.
Maybe you'd have somebody to play fetch with.
Yeah, fair. But if you think about like other countries, so I was talking that when I was on Dr. G's podcast, the Animal Welfare Junction, just the other day, I was talking to her about it. And she's like, in Puerto Rico, I mean, we have street dogs everywhere. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, they will TNR dogs and put them back. So, I mean, it is being done, but could you imagine? Let's just be honest.
No.
Could you imagine in our country, in like an upscaley neighborhood, that they're just putting dogs to run the streets?
No.
It's not happening.
No.
It's not. And I understand that. And so what we have to continue to do is be creative in our life-saving efforts. We have to be, I think, practical and reasonable with euthanasia. You know, that's obviously it's a topic that we talk about from time to time. And we know that, you know, I just shared a video. I don't know if you saw it, but I shared a video of a dog attack at a Florida restaurant. So they have a dog on the patio of a restaurant. So outside seating, and this large dog comes over and basically just plucks this little dog, a little poodle looking thing, out of a stroller, a dog stroller, and just is attacking it. And then a bunch of people come in and beat it up to get the dog off. And so if you haven't seen the video, it's on the ACO Talk Facebook group. It is a private group, so you have to request to join, but you can just search it in your Facebook bar, ACO Talk. But it's just an interesting video because it shows like a couple different things, right? Like why behavior is so important for us as a profession, and public safety is so important. And I don't know if this dog was a shelter dog. I have no idea. It could have been a backyard dog. It could have been a bred dog from somebody that has a long pedigree of dogs. But what I'm saying is, like, if that dog, let's just say it was a shelter dog and we knew it had, let's say, like a high prey drive, like a very high prey drive, or possessive behaviors or things like that, and we let it out into the community and it does this, like, are we not failing?
Well, one thing I would like to point out from that video, though, is the dog did not have a collar on that I could see.
Yeah, so at the end of it, that's a good point. You're absolutely right. I heard the guy say, get me the collar, get me the collar. So I think it either was taken off or it broke it. Yeah, I don't know.
And so I think there's a lot of information there that we, again, don't know.
Yeah.
And there's also, I mean, what it did to that little dog was absolutely not okay. But it also did not redirect
on when the person's trying to, he's like literally punching the dog in the face, and they end up like pulling the dog out of the mouth of the dog. Mm-hmm. That video will be entered into my PowerPoints about how you can safely remove a dog from another dog, and that was not the way.
No.
People always ask me when I tell them I'm going to slip a lead around the neck and choke the dog until it opens its mouth to breathe. They often say, well, won't you get bit? This video shows how you will not get bit. Yeah. Because that dog was so focused on the little dog that it would not, you know, I mean, if you continue to stick your hands in the mouth of that dog, yeah it's probably going to redirect and bite down. And not even redirect, just bite down on your hand.
Right.
And so ultimately,
and I've seen compound fractures from that.
Especially a large dog too. So mm-hmm. in that case, it sucks. It does. And I guess my point of just, I know we've kind of been all over the place today, but I feel like it's been a fun episode, to be honest. Like, it's something that we don't do a lot anymore. We're the two of us just kind of chat. So I'm glad we've had this time to do that. But I'll say in that video, just instead of somebody just recording the whole thing and waiting for somebody to help, I mean, there were a lot of people helping. And so shout out to those people for doing that. And, you know, it's too bad that we live in a time where I think we often maybe prioritize our live release rate over public safety. I think now that may or may not be true for most shelters, but I'm just saying from what I'm hearing and things like that, I think that sometimes we value that live release rate more than we do public safety.
Yeah. Nope. I would agree. And I feel like we've talked about that several times. I also feel bad for the fact that we live in a time, and by in a time, I mean ever since we've had domesticated animals, that our jobs are necessary. Although I love my job, I also could easily go find something else to do if people weren't idiots about their animals and treated them with the respect that they needed, whether that be, you know, treating the animal themselves correctly or training and maintaining them properly, that we could be all out of jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my dream job, as I continue to get older and just try to focus on, like, wow, I'm going to be, you know, this age soon and be able to, like, retire. Well, that's a joke, because I'll never be able to afford to retire, but that's self-induced. But I'll say, like, it'd be cool to have what I'm going to call, I'm putting it out there now. So this is basically a patent, even though it's not a patent. I'm going to call it the Animal Control Retirement Center, and it's going to be a sanctuary. Well, no, it's going to be a sanctuary for all sorts of, like, just anything, whether it's a donkey, whether it's a pig, whether it's dogs. Like, I want to have
ACOs.
Well, the ACOs, they can come. They can come hang out. I mean, I guess there's a few ACOs I'm sure we can put in a pen and they'd be right at home. So if that's you, you know who you are. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, let's wrap it up. Again, check out our website, keepithumane.com. 10% off of your order is AC Report. Just throw that in the discount code section, get 10% off. All orders in the United States are free shipping. So definitely check that out. Check out our Facebook page, The Animal Control Report. Like, share, rate the podcast. And as always, we like to say thanks for listening and keep it humane.
Humane.